St. Luke, the 7th and 8th chapters. Glory to you, O Lord. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus, answering him, said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Soon afterward, he went on through the cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others, who provided for them out of their means. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess our holy faith in the word.
If I were to tell you
that you are cursed, what would you think? Would you believe me? Or do you even believe in something called a curse? What do you think of when you hear the term cursed or being cursed? What comes to mind? Is it like some movie or fictional book with a sorcerer reciting some sort of curse, something that goes bad for something or someone? Maybe it's a witch chanting some sort of curse over a pot. We don't really believe in being cursed, do we? We don't actually really think that this happens to us. But the reality is it is true. Without God, without God's eternal love and mercy, without our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says today in Galatians, you are cursed. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, "Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them." The book of the law, the Ten Commandments. You are Christians. You know these Ten Commandments. You know them rather well, and you uphold them. We like to talk about upholding them in the courthouse rotundas and in our nation's laws, even though they are slowly and now even rapidly fading away. But how are we doing with fulfilling the law of God? If we were to bring you into God's courtroom and he was to have you stand trial according to his law, how would you stand? Have you had any other gods before him? Maybe your money, your job, your family, your smartphone, your retirement, your computer, your internet. Have you always used God's name appropriately, giving him praise and prayer with his name? Or have we cursed his name and used it in all manners of evil? Have you always remembered the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, coming to God's house, regularly praying on a daily basis, hearing His word with great gladness and joy? Have you honored your father and your mother, which also means the governing authorities who are over you, whether you vote for them or not? Have you always upheld people in their body by not murdering them in thoughts, words, or deeds, protecting them? Have you not committed adultery in thought, word, or deed, not looking after somebody in lust or with lustful things? Have you stolen from anyone or even thought about it? Have you bore false witness against your neighbor? You know, gossip. Tell me some good news. What can we write about online? What can we read about? Have you coveted anything that is your neighbor's, looking to God in many ways saying, my life is not as good as their life. I wish I had more. If you have done one of these things, you have broken all of the law, and according to God's commandment and according to God's law, in His courtroom, you are guilty. You are cursed. The word cursed isn't something that just says it's something bad that's going to happen to you. The word in the Greek really means condemned. You are condemned. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. We have all sinned. It's heavy to be under the curse of the law that shows us our sin and that shows us that God has every right to condemn us for what we have done against Him and for what we have done against each other in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds on a daily basis. No matter what the popular opinion is of today, no matter whether somebody agrees with us or not, socially or anything else, God's law stands true and firm. The curse of the law falls upon us when we sin, when we disobey God's commandment. And it has been this way ever since Adam and Eve fell into sin. And we have been laboring under that curse as well. If you're not so sure about even that, then look at your own life around you. I worked on my front yard yesterday, not planting, not tending nice little flowers, but pulling horrible weeds all over the place. That is a sign of the fallen nature we live in. Sometimes when I get up out of my chair in my office or I get out of bed in the morning, my back screams with pain. I can't see as well as I used to when I was 15 years old. I need a stronger prescription for glasses. That is the reality of living in a fallen world. Yesterday, maybe you heard about the horrible tragedy in Orlando. Over 50 people were shot in a random shooting. That is another sign of the fallen and cursed world that you live in. Don't deny it. We all live under this curse. Things don't work right. Creation is all messed up. We groan in emptiness with doctor visits and pills and frustrations. We in California have been going through a drought while Texas and the South have had floods and tornadoes wipe out homes and fields. Crops fail. Mothers experience pain in childbirth. Work becomes really difficult or in scarcity. Conflict and blames arise. We divide ourselves amongst each other, and we lose our love for one another. Families become dysfunctional and separated. Disease and death intrude and invade our lives. Dust you are, and dust you shall return. Do you still see the curse? Has become a little more real for you? Do you see how this world is really not getting better despite all of the advancements we have seemed to have made? This is the curse, that things tend to get worse, and then we head to the grave. This world is not meant to be saved. It stands cursed and condemned, heading to a final day where it will be ultimately destroyed, and a new heavens and a new earth will be given. But in the midst of all of this curse, as we continue in our look at Paul's letter to the Galatians, Paul reminds us, yes, we stand in God's courtroom as guilty sinners before Him. But yet it is God who justifies us, not according to what we've done or how well we've been good, pious, holy Christians, but all according to what He has given to us in His Son. To be justified means to be declared right with God, to be declared not guilty, even though there are volumes and volumes of sin recorded against God and against each other that we have done. Paul says, yes, if you rely on yourself without Christ, if you rely on your own good works, if you rely on trying to be good, holy, pious Christians by somehow obeying the law, you are cursed. And you will be held accountable on the last day for all that you have done and left undone. But in Christ, the curse has been lifted off of you, and it has been placed onto Christ. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, he says, by becoming the curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree." That is all why Christ has come. He has come to lift our condemnation. He has come to lift our curse from us. And not to just say, well, we're just going to forget this and remove it. But He takes it on Himself. He walks into the courtroom, blameless, holy, and perfect. And He tells the judge, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Cast their condemnation, their guilty sentence, their death sentence onto me, and let them go free." Free. Christ has redeemed us from the curse by the cross. The cross of Christ, when you look at it, reverses the curse over us. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. He bundled up our sin, took it all upon Himself into His body to be crucified, punished, beaten, bloodied, hanging on that tree, so that you may be picked up, cleaned up, redeemed, released, and set free. Christ has redeemed you from the curse. We are out from under. He has taken that load off of our backs. No matter what it is you've done, no matter how many times, no matter how many different ways, no matter how everyone else may look at you in utter shock if they knew what you've done, it is gone. As far as the east is from the west, your sins are no longer remembered. And Christ looks upon you this day and begs you to continue to come unto Him. "Come unto me," He says, "all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know that passage. But He's looking at that from the standpoint of the world that we live in and the things that we have done. And so in all of this, the curse is lifted, and Christ has changed you. He has changed the situation. He has changed your reality. Christ has brought us to the forefront and justified us by faith. God declares us not guilty in His heavenly courtroom because Jesus has fulfilled the law in our stead. We have been crucified even with Christ, says Paul, so it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. If you do fulfill the law, if you do love one another, it is all Christ doing it in and through you. Our old man, our old nature, our sins have been put to death with Christ in baptism. At that font, you were taken back to Calvary and put to death with Christ, and you walked out with Him 3 days later, from that tomb victorious. You are now the new creation, joined to Jesus, alive in God, the new person. You, the new creation, arise in Christ in the newness of life. You are redeemed from the curse of the law, the curse of death, and brought into the blessing of everlasting life, justified by faith, crucified with Christ, and redeemed from the curse. That is now your status, your situation, your new reality. It is something to truly rejoice in. For the heavens are open, and there is a bright sky overhead. Eternal life, not death, damnation, and curses, but eternal life awaits us. You have been redeemed from the curse, whether you know it or not, all so that you may be given God's eternal blessing. To Christ alone be all the glory, now and forever. Amen.